This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasuthi. When faced with speed bumps in life, some inevitable side effects are anxiety, discomfort, maybe even depression. And while some of us are willing and able to seek our therapy, what about those who lack access? That's where community counselling comes in. And telling us more about this are William Leong and Boy Terpo Jin, who are both licensed counsellors who have embarked upon this project of community counselling. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you today?
Good. Thanks,
Mia. What is community counselling? You want to explain to me? How does that differ from individual counselling? Because both of you are licensed counsellors who have practiced as individual counsellors as well. And now you're into community counselling. What is it?
Well, maybe I will say a little bit about counselling first. Counselling is a talk therapy. Yeah, but it's not just telling and talking about your problems. It's an intentional conversation. That means it has got a counseling goal in mind, and it gives a safe place. It also gives confidentiality and a position that the counselor is non-judgmental. So it's with a trained person.
And we often hear of school counselors, school counselors, but we don't hear of community counselors. So how do you go into the community and start counselling?
So, community counselling is very much the same as individual counselling, except that we are bringing counselling to the community. You know, so when we talk about individual counselling, it would mean like one-to-one counselling. It can be a couple counselling, couple therapy, or it could be a family therapy. So we bring in this to the community.
Okay, so it's not like community counselling doesn't mean that you counsel in groups. It's the same thing, except for you go out to people who do not have access to this service.
That's right. But it also can mean that we do a group therapy. For example, in the community, we found that we have some women that have been verbally abused or they have been physically abused. And then we can form a group and we can do group therapy with that particular group.
Okay, I have a definition here. Community counselling is a type of counselling that is used to help communities that are suffering from psychological or social discord for one reason or another. Does that encompass all the problems or the issues that you deal with as a community counsellor?
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, so in terms of, is it all about psychological and social discord?
Emotional, psychological, emotional discords, yes.
So all of it. Would you like to give me examples of how you've just formed this community of counsellors to go out to the community, but some of the work that you've done, William?
Well, me personally, I work with communities in terms of an apartment blocks. Yeah, what I do is I go to the apartment block and I meet up with residents. Then we do some parenting talk. From there, you see, the thing is that this is what we're trying to do as well. Want to bring maybe like going to the place and do a talk so that people are familiar with us, so that they know who they're talking to, and also at the same time they can trust us. And then from there, from the talk, we see whether there's anyone who need further counselling, one-to-one counselling. And then we open up for them to do counselling. That's what I did in the apartment block. And I did a parenting talk, you know, it's on discipline of children. And after that, I have parents coming to come to me and telling me about the problems of their children. It may not be discipline, but something to do with the children. Like, how do I talk to my kid? Why is my kid not talking to me? Or why is he slamming the door at me? And things like that. Then it becomes a one-to-one counselling.
Boy, why did you think that this is something the community needed?
Sorry, come again.
Why did you think that this is something the community needed?
Because if one person, individual's mental health status is not healthy, it may cause a lot of really tragic outcome. For example, like domestic violence, physical and emotional abuse, and probably also the relationship issues between family, couple, parents and children,
Which makes me wonder why we haven't done this on a larger scale, on a, more government level kind of thing, because people have issues. A lot of people are grappling with issues.
Just to add on to what Bowie said, that our news and, you hear from TV, you see newspapers, you hear from social media, it is telling you, and the community is shouting to you that they want help. You know, we hear of student bullying, teenage pregnancy, child dumping, family members assault, road rage, and increase in divorce cases. I think you are aware that in March this year, Malay Mail gave a statistical figure that in 2012, there is 56,760 divorce recorded, compared to in 2004, which is only about half the times. That means we have increased the number by two times. Mm-hmm.
And support is needed.
Yeah. And the number of suicides as well. You know, 1.3 suicide for every 100,000 in Malaysia.
Are you targeting a certain segment of the community, or are you just going out to the community?
We plan to just go out to the community. And in fact, we plan to actually send out the invitation to all communities in Klang Valley, and we see who will respond.
Okay.
And come back to your questions earlier. I think it's because of the schema that our society holds, the stereotypes about counseling, about psychotherapy, you know. People tend to think like, oh, if I go to this counselors or mental health practitioner, that means there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally.
Yeah, but do you think that stigma is reducing? Do you think people are becoming more aware and are happy to come forward?
Yes, definitely. Because I do have parents constantly asking, oh, do you know any child psychologists? You know, I think my kid need help, you know, in this area.
Mm-hmm.
I think the new generations, the new parents, they are getting more open to our services.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel there are certain individuals who need more support than the others?
Well, because we're doing community counseling, that means we bring the counseling to the community. We are actually looking to helping not just the community as it is. Because community, what we look at is not just the housing area,
mm-hmm.
but we're also looking at community as a social concern group, you know, maybe for the elderly, for the people who are disabled but not mobile to go to a counseling center for mm-hmm. counseling. We're looking at maybe youth groups, NGOs, associations, institutions, yeah. So we think this also constitutes a community.
How do you get the word out there for communities to come together and bring you in as the counsellor? I mean, you need to have someone to coordinate and bring people together for you to go and meet them. I mean, we live in the city. Some of us don't even know who our neighbours are. So who do you deal with?
Because William is doing it, I'll let him.
Yeah.
we'll seek out the community committees, yeah, because housing,
like residents associations,
yeah,
and things
that's
like
right,
that.
Yeah, that's it. And then also for those social concern homes, then we see who is the one that is in charge of the home.
Is this a way, the only way to provide access to mental health services to the wider public? Are there other means in which we can do this? Because I can imagine we will need so many counselors to go on the ground, and how sustainable is that? I mean, this is your time. Who's paying you for all of this? You know.
Sure.
So, how do you think this is a sustainable thing?
Like us, we're starting small. Yeah, we intend to do on the weekends. So we have got now about 15 of us who are willing to go on a weekend, or maybe on Saturday, or some of them spending two Saturdays in a month. And we have some of us who are willing to do on the weekdays in the evenings. So yeah, we're starting small. Coming to what you asked, if to go big, I think, I think the other forms of counseling, not counseling, maybe like befriending, that's going on, that is excellent. Yeah.
Befrienders,
mm-hmm.
Yes, you can call up, mm-hmm. but a lot more needs to be done. There are other ways of community counseling, and one of which is, I remember reading after 9/11, the community in New York, a large number of the population needed some kind of psychological support, and they used community counselors to go out and, you know, literally counsel a lot of these people because they were traumatized by what happened after 9/11. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that, and but the government had a machinery. to send out these counsellors. Mm-hmm. We don't at the moment. Mm-hmm. So we'll come back and discuss more about community counselling. If you have a question for our licensed counsellors, send it through. It's 016 201 9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasuthi. Licensed counsellors William Leong and Boy Terpo Jin in the studio with me. We're discussing community counselling. If you have a question for them, our text message lines are open, 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio. You know, would you have tips to help people deal with psychological problems? I mean, stress and depression, for an example. I think stress is something we all grapple with. Would you have simple tips on how we can get through it, you know, before we actually bump into a counsellor or get the support of a counsellor?
I think we all need to realise that stress is a very natural emotion. We all get stressed out. It can be healthy as well. Sometimes it makes us want to do things. It helps us to be in a very competitive level. But when it's too much stress, then it's bad. So one of the ways maybe is to identify the source of the stress. Yeah, where's the stress coming from? And to discern or to find out whether you're in control of this stress or not. Right? Is it within your control? And what are the options you have? And then act on the steps, whether to reduce the stress or to remove the stress. Yeah, sometimes it may be little things like, for example, time management, personal planning. It may mean changing your job as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All doable stuff. Sometimes it's overwhelming when it comes all together you just don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's deciphering, taking it all out one by one and putting it down.
Just to find out the source. Where is the source of the stress coming from?
Yep. Mm. How can you encourage more people, Boy, to come forward and take the first step to seek help and to reach out? What's your advice?
I feel, first of all, it's about the education, the message that we send out. Counseling, our service, it's not about labeling you as who you are. We really want to help. And it's just as common as, you know, going to the doctor, you know, who treat you physically. Mm-hmm. And our service is to help you to find your direction towards where you want to be, you know. So, like I said earlier, because of the stereotype of the stigma, people are avoiding us, you know, from approaching them to give help.
Yeah.
So, a way to encourage them is to tell them what exactly we do, you know. And we don't label you, you know. We give you a space to let us help to lead you to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. So you go out there, you in a session, speak to people in general. What's a typical psycho-educational workshop? What is that like when you go out to the residents and, for an example, what happens? How do you approach them? How do you start this session, you know, without them thinking, gosh, I don't want to be here. I want to go home, you know. How do you approach it?
Psychoeducation is just teaching skills. You know, it could be as simple as how you handle, just now you asked me how you handle stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be parenting. How can I be a more effective
parent? How do you approach it? How do you go there and start talking to people?
So like I said, we work with the community, the committee of the community. So we will talk to them and say, okay, would this topic be suitable for your people?
Right.
And you say, yeah, fine, this is good, and this is where, then they will have to do the publicity with the community and to tell those people in the community that this is going on what dates and all that, and then we go over there.
Okay. So that's based on their needs, really?
Yes.
Yeah, based on their need, and we will tell them in their languages what is it about. It's not really that scary coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course.
So we will teach them some basic skills which they can apply, but of course not in details, because for advanced level type of therapy, it's better that we do it with them.
One-on-one.
Yeah, so one-on-one or be it group therapy, you know.
Have they been open to voicing their concerns and their feelings about certain topics? Parenting, for an example.
I think it's very important how the counselor or the person who's doing the talk come across. If there's connection, if you feel that you're genuine, you're sincere, and they feel that they can trust you, they like you, and you know, and that they're able to talk to you, then yeah, I think they're willing to listen at the same time.
I have one. I did once on this community psychoeducational talk before, with the parents and the kids, and yes, the parents after the session, they actually come to me and tell me what is their issues, and we actually proceed to individual sessions.
Okay.
With both parents and kids.
All right.
That was a very successful one. Yeah.
And follow-ups. Do you do follow-ups with the community after?
Well, that's why I said just now, after the talk, then what we do is we invite them, any one of them who's got issues, personal issues, or they want to talk about. Because you see, in parenting, there's so many dynamics, so it's different for each family unit or each couple unit in the couple therapy. So we invite them to a one-to-one session, and from there we move on from there. We will do repeat sessions with them if there's a need. Yeah.
That's for individuals. But what about the community as a whole that you had addressed parenting? Do you go back and explore other topics with them as well?
Yes. Probably for 4 weeks, we will do a different topic for each weekend.
So for those who want to do one-on-one, mm-hmm. is that free of charge or do you charge them for your service?
Okay, the thing is this, because we want to do this as a community service, first thing. So we want to benefit especially the lower social
economic
people.
Yes.
At the same time, we also want them to have ownership of the problem. You know, we're there to help them. So that's why we will be charging them, but it will be less than the normal professional fees. Yeah.
So in terms of treatment and consultation, how do you draw up a plan? I'm very curious. Is it an extensive plan?
I beg your pardon?
Is it an extensive plan when you draw up a treatment plan for someone?
Oh, treatment plan.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, first, you know, when somebody come to us and want to talk to us about a problem, we try to establish the counselling goal. What do we want to achieve in this counselling session? Yeah. And then we let them tell the story. Yeah. Now, in counseling, the pillar of counseling is listening, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes by just listening, the person feel very relieved. Yeah. So from there, we build up. We ask questions. We do. We find out what is the storyline. What is the story? Of course, there'll be nitty gritty stuff. But what we're looking for is actually team. You know, what is actually the cause?
So there's always a root cause of the problem.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes the presenting problem is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to hear more, we have to probe more. It's like really like peeling the onion, you know, discovering. And then we find out what is the real issue, right? And then from there, we will establish a counseling goal. What do you want to do? And from the counseling goal, we will see what is the intervention treatment or treatment plan that we can have for this person.
Is there a common root cause of these problems, do you find? Is there a trend most of the time?
No,
As you said, it presents differently,
yeah.
And that may vary, but the root cause of the problems...
It can be very different.
Yes. Yeah, really. It can be very, very different.
From? Examples?
From family... childhood experience.
Yeah.
I thought you would always go back to childhood experiences.
Not necessarily.
Not necessary, but yes, probably most of the case.
Most of the time.
Yeah. How they been brought up. Maybe.
Yeah, but sometimes the environment that we are in, yeah, the people that we are with and the influences that we have also mold the way we think, the way we feel, the way we perceive things, and that can affect our behavior. Yeah.
But doesn't our coping mechanisms sort of go back to how we coped as a child?
Not necessarily. Depends on what orientation you're doing. If you're doing psychodynamics, yes. A lot of you look back at what you were, how you were, you know, when you were a kid and all that. But if you're doing other forms of orientation, yeah, let's say we do solution focus, then we will look at your strength. you know, your strength, what are the exceptions to, you know, when you're not having this problem, and then you work towards finding a solution. Yeah, so it all depends actually on what model you're looking at. If it's CBT, then we look at, you know, what's your thinking like? Yeah, is there any thinking that we can challenge? What are you thinking? Is it correct to think that way? We challenge some of your irrational thinking, and then we try to move you to see, well, can there be another way of looking at this? You know,
any success stories?
Success stories, mm-hmm.
About the therapy?
Yep.
Okay.
I do have a case. It's about a mother and a daughter. Well, this case, it's not about the upbringing. Or probably yes.
Always does, in my mind at least. Blame your parents for everything. I'm just kidding.
Mother is very, very controlling in a way. Yeah. So, daughter has some thoughts in mind, but cannot share with the mother. So she chose to actually wait. So she lost a year waiting for the mother to understand what she want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The mother was like, I feel you should do this, 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 this. And the daughter say, just keep quiet. Okay, I'll do something else, but, you know, similar to what you have said. And I did a session with the kid, followed by the parents. And we find out it's because of the mother, the communication between the mother and the daughter has some issues, you know. So after that, when we talk about it, we don't use CBT or solution focus. We just want to, you know, find out what's the root cause of this issue. The daughter is not doing anything after SPM exams. It's a waste of time. She's a strict S student. It's a waste.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, when the mother find out, she was shocked. Because it's only that time in front of me, the daughter can tell the mother what she really wants. That was really successful because after that, I heard the girl get to actually enroll in the courses that she really want to do.
Fantastic. So yes. Simple things like that can be solved very easily.
Yeah, but she wasted a year.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a waste, I feel.
Yeah. Just needed a third party to mediate.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just communication. I have a case where we have a parent, you know, come to me and he says, I just don't know how to talk to my kid. And then she gave me this incident where she, you know, she said that, you know, I told my kid's having an exam next week. So she come to me and says, Mom, I want to go to the movies. My friends are taking a break. I also want to go, you know. And straight away the mom says, no, going to movie, you know, you're going to fail your exam. So the kid, what she did was she slammed the door and she went to the room and she don't want to come out. So mother says, what to do with it like that? I say, look, this is how you speak to a kid. You know, she asked you, she wants to go for the movies. And straight away what you did was, you were very reactive. You don't listen to her feelings. You don't empathize with her. And you straight away dismiss her feelings and say, no, you know, you can't go. And then you make a judgment. You're going to fail your exam. Yeah. I said, maybe you can do this way. Maybe you can still do this way. You can say to the kid, yeah, it sounds to me that you really want to go for the show. But I'm concerned about your exam coming up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe if you can tell me, how are you going to balance this? You're going to see a show and at the same time, how are you going to find the time to study? I'd like to know how, you know. So then you give the girl a chance to explain herself, to maybe to listen to your restraints, at the same time maybe to accept or to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Almost makes me feel like I need counseling. But for people looking to reach out, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay.
Or how can they contribute?
Okay. Now our group of counselors that we've come together, we formed this group to do this counseling. We are called Give People Space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why give people space? It's because it gives people a space to discover themselves, to find out about, to express themselves and all that. And in this Give People Space, we are also like, in short, Give People Space is GPS. So we are also like GPS in the sense that we are navigators. We help people to find direction. Yeah. So you can contact us at, you can contact me, William Leong, at 012-681-3377, or you can write to
givepeoplespace@gmail.com. Thank you both very much for joining me today. It was excellent. I mean, to know that there are people out there who are going to communities, I think we need it in a big way. As you said, if you read the newspapers, it'll tell you that people are screaming out for help. Mm. And it is absolutely true. William Leong and Bowie Terpojin, both licensed counsellors on community counselling on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.